This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
For the 2023-2024 season, the West Ham Way podcast is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game. Green King Sport's venues are showing every televised West Ham fixture over the course of the season. So instead of turning to the internet for a dodgy stream, get your mates together and go down to your local Green King pub and get closer to the action. Green King Sport have just recently launched the Green King Sport Instagram page, which will be the home to fan content, deals and competitions throughout the season. Drop them a follow and you won't just be the first to know about all this, you'll be helping out the West Ham Way.
You're listening to the West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X. Oi, oi!
Hello and welcome to the West Ham Way podcast with myself, Dave Walker, an ex-WHU employee. This week we talk about another win, and a win that gives us our best start in the league for 24 years. We'll be talking about that game at Luton, our business in the transfer window, and the Europa League draw before getting news from X and answering questions from patrons of the West Ham Way. So, X, firstly, I have to congratulate you on a fantastic transfer window, arguably your best ever, in my opinion. How do you rate the business we did?
Thank you. Yeah, I was actually pleased with it as well. I think it probably was my best window ever. I think the myth that I'm losing sources and I don't have any more, I hope that that's been crushed, because actually, without meaning to go on about it, it's such a stupid thing to say. I've got much more sources now than I've ever had. So it's just stupid. I honestly, people might dislike what we do, might dislike me as a person, might hate my voice, whatever you want to throw at me. But to say I don't know things, it's just I don't know how much more I can prove it with fixtures and kits and the players and everything, right? But anyway, never mind, not to dwell on it. Out of 10, I think I would give it an 8. It's been a solid window. I mean, if you actually think about it, we actually didn't spend any money. We actually gained money, because if you add up the Declan Rice transfer, the Scamacca transfer, that's about 135 million, pretty much combined. And that actually was more than what we paid for all of our four transfer signings. So yeah, we're just coming away. So it's an 8 out of 10 window. So it's clever business. I think it would have been even better if we'd added a striker. It's that same old age problem with West Ham that we add well, we've recruited well. I think the four signings individually are brilliant. You know, each one of them I can sing praise for. I mean, obviously Kudos and Mavropanos I've not really seen play yet, but the other two certainly have been brilliant since they've come in. Ward-Prowse I can't sing enough about, and Alvarez has looked really good as well, and I'm sure the other two will too. But I just feel we just missed that striker, that we just missed that. You know, we've got Ings, we've got Mbabane, Bowen and Cornet, you can play there, but just to have that out and out striker that isn't a converted converted winger or something like that would have been the icing on the cake for me. A left back, if I'm being greedy, but then Cresswell has chosen to stay, and we have got Oliver Skulls. Cornet can play there as well. So then, it wasn't essential, but I do think in order for it to have been a 9 or a 10, we just needed another forward. But the four players we've brought in, I'm really, really happy with. Like, James Ward-Prowse got another assist against Luton, so that's four goal contributions, whether it be goals or assists, in four games. I think Alvarez has looked brilliant. So, yeah, solid 8 out of 10, I would say.
Do you know what, mate? If someone asked me the same question I asked you, I'd give an identical answer. I can't really even add to it. And I think you're spot on when we say clever business, because that's exactly what it was. Because let's not forget, we're on the FFP watch list as well, whatever the fuck that
yeah.
means. So
yeah.
we can't go gung-ho. So to actually have brought in four players of that standard, and like you, I'm not an expert on Kudus and Mavropanos either, it is fantastic. And I think we touched upon this last week. We might have lost Declan Rice, but I think we've improved as a squad, which is great when you look at the amount of games that we could be playing. So I totally agree. I think in an ideal world, it would be nice to have added a couple more, but we don't live in an ideal world. And I think actually, you've got to be happy with that. You've got to be. Let's talk about Luton. I mean, I couldn't make it, unfortunately. I was celebrating my 10-year wedding anniversary in Barcelona, but it was another win, a win that cements our best start to a season in 24 years. What did you think of the performance and the result?
Yeah, I loved it. I mean, I did get to go, and my gosh, it is a proper flashback to the 90s and stuff. I mean, that, and in that stadium, I've got to say, it is terrible. You know, I've been to Braintree Town, I've been to Kidderminster Harriers. Where else have we been recently? I've been to Cambridge, although that wasn't great, to be fair, but I've been to quite a few Leighton Orient, quite a few not like lower league grounds, and that is right in there amongst some of the worst I've been to. I mean, I have been to it before. I went when the FA Cup quarter final, when Steve Potts trod on the board. I think I went the year before that as well, so I have been a couple of times, so I knew what to expect.
Has it changed much, X?
No, well, other than the one side which they developed, and it's really strange because they're on one side, there used to be boxes, if you remember, just boxes, nothing else, and they've got rid of
cardboard boxes.
Yeah, they got rid of that and they've replaced it by about maybe 5 or 6 blocks of seats, of which there's probably about 10 seats going one way and 10 seats going the other way. And that explains something to me, because when I went to buy the tickets for Luton, I was obviously one of the first in the queue, and there was an option to buy them in another stand. And I thought, oh, I've never heard of that stand before. And by the time I'd looked off my app to buy the tickets, looked at what that stand was on Luton's and gone back, they'd all sold out. And I can see why, because literally on the side of the pitch, there was literally about 50 seats, and then the rest were behind the goal. And the stadium was terrible in the 90s, but the difference is, since then, pretty much every club has upgraded their stadium or moved stadiums. So back in the 90s, it was more regular to find stadiums like that. Now, since stadiums have improved, it stands out so much. I mean, it is a terrible, terrible ground, but it was, in terms of the performance, I thought it was a very, very comfortable performance. I thought the whole time we looked totally in control. I don't even think we got into fifth gear throughout the game. I felt that we were completely in control. Yes, they scored at the end, and there's the typical nervy last few minutes for West Ham, but on the balance of play, I don't know what the possession statistics were, but in terms of the actual feeling in control of the game, I thought we were totally in control, and it's a great win, you know, because yes, I think Luton are going to finish bottom of the league this year, but their first game back in the Premier League, or first game ever in the Premier League, should I say, the atmosphere was quite intense, their fans were up for it, and we rode that very well and came away again with the 3 points. So happy days.
Yeah, I mean, I was gutted. I had a brilliant time in Barcelona, but I was gutted to miss Kenilworth Road. And what really made me laugh, and no doubt you was part of the crowd, was the video of the West Ham fans singing "We Can See You in the Bath." I thought that was good. Yeah, my West Ham taking a piss, and it is a surreal place. I'd love to have seen it. But mate, I totally agree. I think to see West Ham dominate possession, and I think it was in the region of 69% as well. So to get that away from home is massive. And obviously Luton are very direct. They had more shots, interestingly. But we had the vast majority of possession and we controlled the game. And do you know what? We've spoken a lot about the style of play with West Ham on this podcast. I don't mind the style of play, the counter-attacking style of play, where you're inviting pressure and you hit a team on the break when you're playing a top six side, for example. But outside of that, when you're playing your Lutons, your Bournemouths, etc., I expect us to control possession, control the game, because we've got the players to do it, and take the game to those teams. And again, you know, you say we didn't get out of fourth gear. You know, it was just an overall complete performance, really, in terms of comfortability, if anything else. And it was lovely to see my two favourite players combine for the first goal. A great ball from Lucas, converted by Jared. And the second goal came from another assist from JWP. I mean, how nice is it, X, to be excited by set pieces again?
Oh, it's really good, mate. And what is also important to note is that the opposition are very, very fearful about giving away free kicks on the edge of the box as well, which I think really helps us, because they know that if they give away a foul, we've got his ability to get a good shot away. And I think that's playing into the minds of the opposition, because you know full well, if you're the opposition manager or analyst or whatever, you are going to say to your defenders, try not to give away a foul on the edge of the box, and it's going to play into their mind. And I think it's amazing to have him. I don't want to keep going on, but I championed that we should make this signing last summer. I still believe it. I cannot believe no other club went in for him. I mean, when I was driving back from Luton, I was actually up in Nottingham randomly, but as I was driving up there, it's about the same distance from there to my house in Essex. It wouldn't have made too much difference. But as I was driving back, I was listening to Talk Sport just to see if there's any last minute transfers coming through elsewhere. And they had the Southampton, I think the former chairman on. I don't know what point he left being their chairman, but he was obviously chairman for a large part of when James Ward-Prowse was there. And he kept saying, I cannot believe that no other clubs went in for him. He was a dream. He was the model professional. He's a very good player, which people overlook. He was captain. He was loyal. He was an England international. He got assists, scored free kicks, scored penalties. And he was amazed that no one else went in for him. And he put it down. And I think I've put it down on this podcast too, that the fact that he's turning 29 this year, so people just overlooked him because of his age. But you know what? If you can get another 3-4 years out of him, creating and scoring as many as he already has, 4 in 4 goal contributions, then you're going to be laughing. And I think he's brilliant. Jarrod Bowen, brilliant, you know, constantly getting on the score sheet at the moment. He's a real threat, and you know, the opposition would be scared to have to go against him. Pakatar is such a workhorse for a creative player. I don't think I've ever remember a player that's so skillful and creative working so hard defensively. And do you know what, that was another massive part of the window which possibly we should have said earlier, is that we kept hold of him. You know, I know that was through kind of not the most clear cut of methods, but whatever the way it is, and hopefully he won't get a massive ban, we've still got him. And I don't think Man City will come back for him now they've signed Nunes, and you know, there'll be another season gone by. I think we'll probably have him for another 2 years or so, 2-3 years, and that'll be at his peak. And I think he's a great player. And when you look at it, when you look at our team now and you look from position to position, it's very, very strong. To the point now that if you consider that Kudos will be 100% fit, Mavropanos will be 100% fit, Souček will be available for selection because he obviously wasn't for Luton, it's actually quite hard to know what your strongest 11 is, because there's quite a few options now.
Yeah, there is. And it also gives versatility to how you want to approach certain games against certain teams as well, which is really good. Now, whether Moyes will do that, I don't know, but it does give him that option, which is really good. Talking of Ward-Prowse, he was actually at one point at the centre of a little bit of controversy when there was a penalty shout. And I don't know if you've seen it, X, but if you have, was it a penalty in your opinion? Because this ongoing overcomplicated handball rule just does my head in. It's to a point where I actually don't even know if I understand the handball rule anymore. But from your understanding, do you think it was?
I haven't actually seen a replay, if I'm honest with you, and it was down the other end. So I couldn't claim to have seen it at the time from what I've read online. And the photos I've seen, it looks like a handball. But then I think you can stage anything to be either argument, handball or non-handball, unless you see it in real time. But as you said, this is a constant problem because there's just a lack of consistency. And the key thing about rules in whatever walk of life it is, whether it be parenting your children or in, as a school teacher or as a policeman or as a manager in a business or a football manager or a referee, you have to have consistency in the implication of the, sorry, the yeah, implications, that's what I'm looking for, the use of rules. You have to have consistency because otherwise it breeds confusion, it breeds the feeling of unfairness, and it breeds like a feeling of like insecurity, people not knowing what they're doing. And already 4 games into the season, there's consistently inconsistencies. If that makes sense, yeah. Like you've got offsides. They seem to vary. You know, the one in the Man United Arsenal game, that was, you know, in other games, I'm sure the Man United goal would have been given. And in other games, that handball probably would have been given. Sometimes there'd have been fouls that would have been yellow cards that weren't yellow cards. When they're in the penalty box, there seems to be a difference between if that foul happens outside the box, it's a yellow card. But if it happens inside the box, because it leads to a penalty, it's not a yellow card. There's just way too many inconsistencies. And I can't believe with the advancement of technology that there is now within football, and the advancement of just technology in general and football in general, that we still have the same problems that we were having when football was first invented, and that's referees in, you know, carrying out the rules consistently in each game that they work on.
Yeah, again, mate, I totally agree. I don't know why they just can't fucking leave football alone. It does my head in. And some of the stupid rules that they've put into place. I mean, VAR, you know my feelings on VAR. I think it's massively killed football. But goalkeepers as well. Goalkeepers, you can't come off your line when you're taking a penalty. What a stupid rule that is, for example.
That's not implemented consistently either, that one.
No, it's not. It's not. Absolutely, it isn't. Same with encroachment in the box for players that are running to get a rebound if the keeper saves it on the penalty. Now, that's up and down as well. Yeah. And I just think they've almost gone out their way to overcomplicate something that was perfect. Yes, I think goal line technology is brilliant. It's the only real sort of praise I can sing officiating and kind of rule changes in that respect. But it does my head in, and it should be black and white, and it should be consistent. And if we're talking black and white, which would be a case of if the ball hits your arm in the box, it's a penalty, then it's a penalty, because I have seen it. But I'm assuming it wasn't a penalty, and I'm just trying to put my mind into the mind of the referee, because I think as the ball's come over, he was a bit obstructed by Agüero visually, and his arm, in my opinion, wasn't in an unnatural position. So that's why I don't think it was given. And luckily enough for us, it weren't, because we deserved the win, and that's what we come away with. The Patreons gave the man a match ball to Kurt Zouma. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, probably. I think for me, I thought Alvarez slightly edged it personally, but you know, Zouma got a goal. He was the captain. The defence played well, so I can see why he got that. I just thought Alvarez made a number of crucial interceptions and tackles in that game and brought the ball out of defence really, really well and started attack. So personally, I think I voted for Alvarez, but you know, I wouldn't argue with anyone that thought it was Zouma.
Yeah, for me, Alvarez, he nicked it as well for me. I thought he was fantastic. And I'm so excited by him because I know it's early days. But what do you think of him? Because I think he's got all the minerals to be a real fan's favourite. I mean, I remember at one point there was that tackle in the box. And I was like, fucking have that. Like, I love that. And he's just your gritty little bulldog in the middle of that midfield, and he gets stuck in and he's hungry. And I think a player recently said that he's exactly the same in training. He just wants to win. He's got a winner's mentality. And how many times in this podcast have we expressed the importance of a winning mentality? And he's got that bit between his teeth. And that's something I think West Ham fans will absolutely love. So, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I want to give him time to adjust to the country and the Premier League. But I'm going to call it now. I think he could potentially be a contender for Hammer of the Year at the end of the season. Mm. That's my shout.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And what I like about him, like you said, he gets stuck in, he makes challenges, he's strong, you know, he's big, he's 6'3", he protects the back line well, he's got good distribution, he gets it out to the more creative players quickly, he's got a good engine, gets up and down the field really well. I think he times his tackles brilliantly. A couple of times he's turned into danger, he's got out of it, so I can't really criticise, but a couple of times I think he's turned into danger a couple of times, and I thought, oh, you're lucky there, but maybe it's not luck, maybe he's just that good, he can do that. So there's a slight worry on me that he might give the ball away or give a penalty away occasionally, but aside from that, I think he's a great signing, and you know he's got all the attributes for that role, that defensive midfield role, to be really, really, really good. And I know that when he was first, you know, watched by West Ham scouts, you know, they went out and watched him in April time. They were really, really impressed with him. They're really impressed. They said, I mean, no one would go as far as to say, you know, he's as good as Declan or better than Declan, because you wouldn't say that. But they said, if you need to replace Declan, this is the person to replace him with. And so far, it looks like he's showing that. And as you say, there's something about his mentality. He's like got that grit. And that spiciness to him that makes him seem like he has that win at all cost mentality, and that is exactly what we need. He's also, you know, good mates with Kudos, so that will help him, both of them, settle at the club. Spanish speaking, there's a couple of players in and around the squad that are Spanish speaking as well, though his English, from what I've heard, seems perfect, so not that that would matter too much. But I think he will be someone that will be a great player for us. And like you say, when you're looking, it's very early days to make this call, but you can imagine him being in contention for Hammer of the Year, same as James Ward-Prowse. You can imagine that with him as well. So to have two new signings already showing their value so quickly is really good.
Yeah.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I mean, you mentioned Kudus there. I mean, I'm so excited to see him play for West Ham. So excited. So much fuss has been made about him. And again, I can't claim to be an expert on him. But he seems like a player, again, that can really excite the fans. But the question is, if he starts for West Ham, and sure as shit he will do, because we paid decent money for him, where does he start? Where on the pitch does he play?
This is the problem. This is, well, not the problem. This is the great dilemma that the manager has. I mean, at the moment, if you're thinking about the league team as your best 11, I think Areola has earned to stay as number one at the moment. So you go Areola, Schaffel has been solid again, Agued, Zuma, and I think Emerson deserves a lot of credit. I thought he was our best player in the final in Prague, and I thought towards the end of last season and this season, Emerson has been really good. I didn't see why his goal was disallowed. I don't know if that was legit or
no,
not.
No, I thought that was bollocks myself.
Was it? I haven't actually seen a replay, but...
I literally glossed over it, but I think they gave it as Antonio was offside. But again, you're talking a toe now for me. I didn't agree with that. I thought that was right.
Yeah, so he's essentially scored in that game and played brilliantly again. So I think Emerson's good. And this is where it gets tricky in midfield. So I think you have to have Alvarez as the defensive midfielder. And then I think you have to go Paquetar and Ward-Prowse as the centre two. And then I think you have to have Bowen and Kudos on the right and the left. And then Antonio up front, which is really harsh because that means no place for Souček. Although I think... If you're looking to bring, say you're chasing a lead or you want to get a goal back, or even if you want to hold a lead, being able to bring on Souček in whatever way you bring him on, I think it will be a brilliant thing for us because of his height and his defensive capabilities and his ability to score when he's on form. So having him as an impact sub would actually be really good. It's harsh on Benrahma because I think, you know, Benrahma on his day can be brilliant. So I think, yeah, you don't play him. You could argue that Philip Kerrer at right back. You can argue Mavropanos. Obviously, what have we signed him for if you're not going to play him? But that's good for West Ham. It's good for West Ham to have those dilemmas and have that problem where you don't know what your best 11 is, because in the past, we've known what our best 11 is, and then Antonio's done his hamstring, or Zuma's done his knee, or Aguero's out for the start of the season. So at the moment, we have a pretty much, touch wood, a fully strength team to choose from now, and that can only be a good thing. The subs bench has got to be the strongest subs bench when you do your ultimate 11 that we've ever had.
Well, I mean, who would argue with it? How can you argue with it? Because I can't think of a better bench.
Well, no. And our second 11, if you was to do our second 11, so you could call it maybe as Fabianski in goal, Kerrer right back, Ogbonna, Mavropanos centre back, Cresswell left back, and you could have like, maybe, I don't know, Connor Coventry, defensive midfielder, Suchek, Fornals, Benrahma, Cornet. I don't know if I've missed someone. Ings up front, say, or Mbama up front. That's not a bad second 11. That second 11 is better than the team that we had at the start when we moved to the London Stadium.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. And the thing is, and the good thing about having a heavier squad, which is something we haven't always been blessed with, is that it finally creates healthy competition. Yeah. You know, players are going to train harder every day because they want game time, and they won't get it unless they perform in training and show the right level of attitude. I think in the past, we've been guilty of having players that are there for a pay packet, or they're there because they know that their place is guaranteed. Whereas now, for the first time in quite a long time, no one's place is guaranteed as such. Or if they are, there's not many of them, you know, and I think that's really healthy for anybody.
Yeah. And I think the fixtures coming up, obviously we've got this break now, but the fixtures coming up, it's a bit of a shame we had a break now, really, because obviously we're in momentum at the moment, but we've got, Man City at home, and then Liverpool away, and I think, isn't it? It's Man City at home, Liverpool away, and then Sheffield United at home. So the Man City and the Liverpool game will be a real indication of where we are actually at now, because, Chelsea have started the season poorly. We beat them. Luton are going to go down. But Bournemouth, first game of the season's hard to judge. You know, Brighton, yes, that was a really good result. But if this Liverpool and this Man City game are going to be interested to see, and thankfully, we have Sheffield United quite soon after, who are at home, who I think will beat, so we can reset ourselves again. If we do lose to Liverpool and Man City, but I've got a funny feeling we won't lose both of those games. I don't know which one we'll get something out of, but I don't think we'll lose both. And that's going to be great for us. If we can just get a point out of those two games, it'll be good.
I mean, if we don't win the league this season, has Moisey got to go?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it's his style of football mainly.
What is it with you? You're so fickle.
I just think it's so funny. Like the game on against Luton, the whole, we've got Super David Moyes.
Oh, really?
Chant was out. And I just thought to myself, how many of you have seen this? So, like, literally 2 months ago, we're like, oh, that wanker, he's got to go, blah, 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 blah. And it's a fickle business, football. Look, we're all guilty of it, whether it's our opinions on players or the manager or whatever it may be. But I do think always in football there, and Martin Allen alludes to this as well, and I agree with him, there is too much quickness to blame the manager in situations. When it's obvious, then yes. But sometimes I think, circumstances aren't considered. And, if we continue the way we are, I think we're going to have a very, very good season. Like you can't have asked about, obviously, getting wins out of four would have been ideal, but that's not possible for West Ham. We just don't do that. So the start of the season that we've had has been a great start, and then we just need to kick on and hopefully maintain this for the rest of the season.
Well, especially as three of the four games have been away from home. And they say it's our best start in the league for 24 years. I mean, what a way to start. You've got Brighton away. That's a tough game. Chelsea at home, okay, I know they're in a bit of a transitional period. Some West Ham fans fancied that before the game. Still a tough game. Bournemouth away. you know, any point away from home is a good point. Luton, I mean, to finish up on the Luton discussion, it's their first ever game in the Premier League. It's their first home game of the season. So to go there in tough circumstances, really, and dominate possession, score two goals away from home, and pick up 3 points again, I think it's been a phenomenal start to the season.
Well, definitely. Really,
and it just generates excitement, doesn't it? Which is nice.
Yeah. And the league table, you know, the league table obviously shows where we're sitting in the league table, and we're sitting fourth, but it shows that it doesn't show that three of those four games have been away from home. Ooh, you know, yeah. Like, you know, it's usually 2-2. You're usually pretty much when you've got an even amount of games played, you've usually, bar the odd time in the season, had an even amount of home and away games. That's how they designed the fixture calendar. But obviously, we've had three away and one at home, and then, you know, it will be Liverpool and Man City to come into the mix in the next game. So that is going to be a real indication. But what a start, because, you know, as West Ham fans, like, we're used to, particularly the older West Ham fan, are used to relegation battles and looking at when you're going to get to that magical 40 points, right? Yeah. So that you stay in the Premier League. Already we've got 10 points. And if you look at the relegation zone, Everton are 18th. They've got 1 point. Luton and Burnley are 19th and 20 with 0 points. So we're already 10 points above our relegation rivals, so to speak. So it's quite, you know, to be in that position already is amazing. You know, we're 6 points ahead of, or 7 points ahead of Chelsea, six points ahead of Chelsea, 7 points ahead of Newcastle, 4 points ahead of Man United. You know, and if you would have said that at the start of the season, the first four games, that would be happening, then, you know, you wouldn't probably have believed it. So, yeah, it's a great start. We're just going to keep this momentum going, and I think we can. I really think we can. I think another interesting thing that Moyes has done, which perhaps has been overlooked and almost been used against him, but I actually think it's a good thing. When you look at the backroom staff, last year you had Nevin and you had Warburton. Warburton was a former manager. You know, he'd managed Rangers of all clubs, so he'd managed big teams. He was brought in because of he tried to deny it in an interview he did with Gio, and it was a great interview, and Gio asked some great questions, but I could tell he wasn't telling the truth. So some of those answers, you can just, A, from what I know, and B, just looking at his body language and his answers, he was given the job because of the foul takeover of Birmingham, and it was promised to him, and he took it like that. Moyes didn't want him. It can't be great to have another guy that fancies themselves as a manager sort of going around your backroom staff thinking he knows just as, you know, what to do. Nevin was working for England, so maybe, and I don't know Nevin, so maybe I'm being harsh here, but maybe he felt that he knew better. He was an England coach. He was this up and coming talented guy that everyone talks about being amazing. You know, Moyes got rid of them, or didn't get rid of them. They left those two, and he's brought in a guy called Henry Newman that's very, like, you know, he's known over a few years at West Ham, but hasn't got a huge, you know, CV of coaching, although he's meant to be very good. And then he's brought in Mark Robson from the academy, who he's worked with for the last 2-3 years. So he's brought in characters that are now working more probably in line with him than against him. And I reckon that is a factor in this as well.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point. I mean, I've got to go back to when things were difficult for David Moyes. There was a member of staff that kind of confirmed, if you like, or at least alluded to the fact that things weren't great with David Moyes in terms of the working environment. But then you don't know the stresses and strains and the circumstances that come with that. And, you know, it's also very rare, I think, for a manager to pull it round when you're under that much strain and pressure. And I think the Conference League win massively helped him in that respect. I think he kept his job because of it. And to be fair to him, and obviously I'm the first one that called him out last season, you know, if we carry on the way we're going and we keep winning games, even with a low possession percentage, then good luck to him, because all we want and all we care about is the win. And we've got 3 out of 4 and we're undefeated so far this season. So good luck to him. Good luck to him. And whatever he's comfortable with, that obviously makes a big difference as well in terms of who you're working with on a daily basis, you know. So credit to him. Last week also saw the Europa League draw. What are your thoughts on our opponents, which for the record are Olympiakos, Freiburg, and I think I'm going to pronounce this right, Bakker to Plauer? which I'm convinced I haven't pronounced that right.
Bless you.
Yeah. Easy for you to say. Yeah. How do you feel about that? Because I've got to be honest with you, I think Serbia is going to be a bit naughty. It's not exactly on my bucket list. I think that's going to be an interesting away day. And we were texting each other, weren't we, when the draw was being announced? Because at that time, we didn't know what fixture was going to be first. And of course, West Ham fans are banned from the first game. And we were buzzing about the potential of going to Greece. And then we're like, fucking, you know, how's your luck? I bet they're going to make Greece the first game that we can't go to. But as it happens, it's Germany. So we are going to Greece. How do you feel about the draw? In my opinion, it couldn't really have got much better than the teams that we've drawn, in my opinion.
At the end of the day, like, Greece is apparently meant to be really bad at the moment for football violence. It's meant to be the worst one. So I think we might have got that one wrong slightly in our apprehension. So my main aim is to make it back alive from both Greece and Serbia. That's my objective of this group. But I thought, you know, I didn't think I would be struggling in Anderlecht, but that was a challenge. So
to be fair though, Serbia ain't going to be a walk in the park, is it?
The only thing I'm hoping with Serbia is that they're a small team, and I think there's only like 200 West Ham fans that are going to be able to get tickets. So I'm hoping they just feel a bit sorry for us and don't beat us up.
They probably won't, mate.
I'm not sure I can pass as a Serbian. I might be able to get away with passing as Greek if I put an accent on, but I'm Serbian. Yeah. I'm not sure, but. I think in terms of the draw, it's not the easiest. Don't get me wrong. There was other teams I would have rather than some of those teams pulled out. I think Freiburg are a good team. You know, they finished fourth or fifth, I think, in the Bundesliga. You know, you have to be strong to do that. You know, they actually finished above Frankfurt, I believe. And, or certainly they've given Frankfurt a run for their money, and obviously Frankfurt knocked us out. So I don't think we should be too relaxed about Freiburg. Olympiakos, you know, one of the biggest Greek teams. You know, Greek teams are strong. You know, Olympiakos have played in the Champions League many times, so they are strong. The Serbian team, obviously, I'd like to think we'd be able to beat them home and away. But the key thing for us is to get good results at home to both the Greek team and the Serbian, the German team. And I think we'll be okay. I can't see us finishing less than second. But it's certainly not as easy as our group last year in the Conference League. And so it shouldn't be, because it's a tournament above what we won last year. But I think we should still, particularly the way we're playing at the moment, have the quality to get out.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a better competition, and I think it could have been a lot worse, I think. I mean, look, don't get me wrong, the teams are no mugs, certainly Olympiakos and Freiburg, and I'm not having them as mugs at all, but I look at that and I would expect us to top the group. Maybe I'm naive, I would expect us to, but as long as we qualify, that's the main thing. But we've got some good away days to look forward to there for sure. But, you know, you talk about, it's a bit naughty in Greece, a bit naughty in Serbia. To be honest with you, X, since we've been following West Ham in Europe, other than Denmark and Cyprus, I think it's fucking kicked off everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah, it has, it's right down that sort of street of, I think, where they target West Ham because of the reputation. I think it's like seen as a big achievement if you get West Ham, and I don't know, it's a shame really, because that's not what I don't think football should be about. And if it is about that for some people, then fight similar people that want to fight. Don't go and target random people sitting in a pub with their dad. You know, where it gets messy for me. Go and target someone that's like-minded, you know, whatever age, wants to fight another hooligan. Go and meet up and do that, not target innocent people. And it is a bit naughty. I mean, away days have been brilliant abroad. We've had a great time. You know, Seville, we never got any problem from the Seville fans. It was the Frankfurt fans that were also out there, wasn't it, that caused the problem. So, yes. But yeah, Lyon, we had it. Obviously, Frankfurt, we had it. Belgium, we had it. Where else did we go? Denmark was fine, and Cyprus was fine. But yeah, it'll be interesting. But if we keep our wits about us, I'm hoping we'll be okay. The Greek one, we're literally, you don't know this, but we're literally like, I think it said 500 meters from the stadium. So hopefully if we leave early and we run quickly, the time that we can get beaten up is minimal. Although apparently they started doing this thing in the stadium where they throw like the backs of watches at people and coins and stuff like that. So maybe if we just wear a crash helmet or something, we might be okay.
Leave it there. We'll end up making a few, Bob.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And as Serbia, I think we're about a kilometre and a bit from the stadium. So, yeah, I might want to get a cab booked there and back. Hopefully that will do us all right as well.
Yeah, it's all fun and games, isn't it? I spoke to someone I know that's been to Athens, and she said you have to climb the Acropolis. Whatever that is, I don't know. But if you go to Athens, it's one of the things
I think we need to.
There's a number of stairs as well. She said it's hard work, but it's worth it. And I said, listen, if I can climb the stairs at St. James's Park, the Acropolis is going to be a piece of it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's a great thing. I mean, I've been to Greece numerous times, but I've always been to like Corfu or to like all the other islands, Zante, and I can't even remember the names of the other ones now. Crete. I've always been to places like that. I've never actually been to Athens. So it'd be nice to go there and experience what that's got to offer. And I've never been to Serbia, so that's another country to tick off. And it's all life experiences, isn't it? As long as I make it back alive, then I'll be pleased to tell the tale.
Cool, you don't want much, do you? Fucking hell.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, to be honest, I'm going to raise the stakes. I don't really want to get beaten up either. So as long as I make
you
it
are back, a fussy poodle.
Yeah, as long as I make it back without any form of physical cool deteriorant, I'll be happy.
Oh, it's exciting though, isn't it? And talking of excitement, some really exciting news about our book, Highs, Lows and Decanios. Yesterday, we were approached by the club to have the book in the official club store. Now, I'm probably saying this a bit prematurely, but I think I can, X, because it's there in black and white in terms of the confirmation. So as you can imagine, we're very, very proud of that. That was some exciting news, wasn't it, to be able to walk into the club store potentially and see our books on the shelves.
Yeah, exactly. I can't wait for that. I mean, you know, when you look back at your sort of time when you're a kid and stuff, and you imagine those times when you used to go to that porter cabin in outside the main stand, and that little one that was in the sort of corner of the stand and Bobby Moore stand, and you think to yourself, oh, I remember looking at that, and it was almost like magic, wasn't it? When you used to see all the West Ham stuff available, and you'd be like dreamy of all the things you could get from that shop. So now I think that there's going to be a book in there, as I say, with my name on, with my pseudo name on. It's very exciting, and yeah, I can't wait to see that.
Oh yeah, likewise, mate, likewise. Okay, it's time to see what's what.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.